Hello.
Good morning.
Oh, energy right back at me. Thank you. Woke me up. All right. I was busy in meditation over there. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. Good to see you guys. Thanks for making it. So Pastor Steve is out today, as you know. It's nice to hear that our pastor can have time off and get a refresher. He's very hardworking. He's awesome. And so I'll be your substitute today. If you're good, I'll let you out early. I also want to throw out there, too, if you're new today, first time here, Pastor Steve will be back next weekend. So I do want to encourage you to please come back next weekend. We're going over the rapture and Revelation, light reading. And it's awesome. So please, next weekend, be here to hear him speak. Today, I'm going to let you off the hook as far as the heaviness. Because we've been over Ezekiel right into Revelation without skipping a beat. And it's been heavy. It's been awesome, but heavy and great. I love it. So we're going to be one of my favorite books today. And it's called Cat in the Hat. It's about thing one and thing two. No, kidding. That was my version of a joke. And if you didn't like it, you're in for a long service. So we'll just see where this goes, right? This is going to need prayer, so let's pray. God, thank you so much for this time of worship, Lord. I love the fact that we not only worship through song and music, but we can worship through your word, Lord, and we can worship through fellowship and serving. And we worship you through everything we do, God. I'm so excited to be in this body right now. God, I genuinely ask, Lord, that you will just set aside any distraction to seeing you. We're here to worship you. Please make this all about you, God. I just ask, Lord, your Holy Spirit to just flood this place, Lord, to climb into each one of our hearts individually and speak to us, God. Just thank you so much for this time of worship. Please, Lord, be present. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I'm excited to be here. You guys are awesome to worship with. So for those of you I haven't met, my name is Scott. My wife and I, we lead the Young Adult Bible Study here on Thursday nights. That's been a huge blessing. And I wanted to share a little bit about that with you and sort of the process that God's been taking me on behind it and just share a little bit of that testimony through his word, because it's been humbling and exciting. So Thursday nights, this we call it revival, and Pastor Steve just said, hey, why don't you take a group and go for it? And we really didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. We just, all right, let's go. Let's just gather together, talk about the word. And God took over from there. God took over. It was pretty exciting and insane. There's a lot of unique testimonies that happened throughout it. But it got so exciting to the point that I was getting really like jazzed up. Like, I want to do this all the time. I want to just take my life and go into what I would call full-time ministry, right? And just, I want to go to seminary, quit my job at the bank. Just because I say I work at the bank, by the way, don't occupy my house. That's just where I work right now. But, let's just shift gears and go serve. Like, this is exciting. And it's been awesome. And after seeking godly counsel, counting the cost of it, I just, whoa, okay. God answered my prayer in a very unique way. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. And I really just want today to be an encouragement to you guys to love and serve the Lord a little bit more or a lot of bit more than you did when you first walked in. So let me tell you what God showed me. In this prayer, he gave me through a text message this verse in Colossians 3. This isn't our text, but this is just the verse he gave me that really prefaced this entire experience. Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24. This is what he told me through James. I'm sorry, through Paul. Paul says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, or in other words, with all your heart, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now, what knocked me in my chair, because I was literally at work when I read this, is that first part, whatever you do. I was getting a little frustrated that I couldn't quite quit my job and get radical and just, you know, I got two kids. It just isn't smart. It's kind of like folly. So reading this, I'm going, whoa, whatever I do, that means here at work, that means at home, and whatever I'm doing, do it for the Lord. What a wake-up call. That's a wake-up call. Okay, good. That's a good answer. I'll take it. But he didn't stop there. He shows me Moses. Moses is a pretty popular guy. We know him for Ten Commandments, you know, parting the Red Sea, especially taking the Israelites out of Egypt, right? It's exciting. He does a really good impression of Charlton Heston. He's known for that. But pretty popular guy. He's got a really good resume. Well, I tend to want to know how people started, where they got. It's really exciting for me to like hear about this stuff. So I did that with Moses. Kind of profiled Moses. You know, where did you start? At what point did your life go into this direction of this crazy God calling? So what we're going to do today, we're going to be in Exodus 3. So go ahead and turn there because we're going to read a bunch. But what I want to look at is this dialogue. God is talking to Moses. And what I want to do, I'm not going to dissect this verse by verse, okay? But I want you to observe this dialogue as if you are Moses, okay? And I'll throw in some commentary here and there. It's quite fascinating to hear this whole thing. So this is, just to give you a quick little setup, at this point, Moses, young Moses, he's tending the sheep of Jethro. This is right around verse 1 of Exodus 3. He's in the wilderness. It's a beautiful Old Testament day. And God shows up as a burning bush. That's just burning, not being consumed or withering away. It's just burning. And which, by the way, kind of blows my mind because it's just another example of how mysterious God is and how he shows up in our lives. I love to think, especially like if we went testimony by testimony to everybody in this room, it would just be a different story of how God has shown up in your life. And if this is a burning bush, is just another example of how crazy God is, and only he can do this type of thing. I love it. It's really exciting. So just imagine you're Moses here, and you got this burning bush, okay? He's identified himself as God, and he's about to tell Moses, I'm going to use you. So here we go. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, first of all, I love two things here. I love that he says, for I know their sorrows. I love that we have a God that knows our sorrows. There's not one thing he can't look at and go, I don't really know what that's like. He knows our sorrows. I love that. And then it struck me, the reality, just imagine you're Moses. You're just tending to some sheep, and you get called to rescue thousands out of Egypt from this guy Pharaoh, who's building a dynasty. It's not like he was in school or at boot camp preparing for this battle. He was just tending some sheep. And God's like, I'm going to use you. I need you to do this crazy thing. That's kind of devastating. Kind of cool. This is already starting out really good. All right, I'll take this script here. So how does Moses respond to this crazy calling? Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" This really woke me up. This spoke to me. We've all had this time where we go, no, I can't be called to do that. I'm just me. I'm not Superman, or I'm not, some Billy Graham. I'm just me. Who am I? Why are you choosing me to do this? It's crazy. It's humbling. So God responds with, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." And God is being really faithful to Moses. Moses is a very blessed cat at this point. Cat in a cool term. Sorry, I just threw that out there. But I'm trying to date myself here. But for God to say, "I will certainly, without a doubt, be with you." So first of all, don't even worry about a thing. I got this. "I will certainly be with you." Not only that, but Moses, again, very fortunate. God's giving him proof. I'm going to show you that I'm going to be with you. Because by the time this is all done, this will happen, and then you'll know this was my will. Now, that's a pretty cool thing for Moses, because I know some of us in here, we've been called to things, and we don't have that hard evidence that this is the will of God, but we just have the peace in our own heart. And it takes a little faith, but God's really given Moses this huge push. Love it. So then Moses responds, verse 13, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" I really appreciate Moses' genuine heart here. I think this is so important for us to recognize, because a lot of us, all of us, if we're following Christ, are called to go and make disciples. And there's times where we're going, "Well, okay, I should probably talk to so-and-so. He's sitting right there, and I should reach out. But God, what do I say? How do I present you?" And that's awesome, because God's going to answer that. And I think it's so important is to let God lead it. And just starting out, go, okay, what do I say? I love Moses' genuine heart. He was just asking, okay, so if they say this, what do you want me to say? And this is the answer. God responds, verse 14. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." That is awesome. I just got to pause and just worship that phrase for a moment, because "I am" is awesome. The fact that God is not a thing of the past, he's not a thing of the future, he's constantly present. See, for us, it's interesting because we have, 80 years ago and 100 years from now, God is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and he's got it. That's it. For him, "I am." For you guys, I know you got your little step-by-step, but for me, "I am." Praise God for that. That's just awesome to see that. So that really gives me comfort to know that he's got it under control. I love it. He continues on. I'm just going to read this whole thing. Verse 15 here. He continues on to talk to Moses. Listen to this. "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared to me saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Then they will heed your voice. And you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. And now, please, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, No, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be, when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. Again, Moses, you lucky dog. You're getting the whole story. I mean, good for you. I know when I get a calling from God, I don't always get to know the future. But God lays it out. He straight up tells Moses, yeah, I'm calling you. I'm going to be with you. Oh, and here's what's going to happen, play by play. It's like watching SportsCenter for a game you're about to watch, you know, in 10 minutes. It's amazing. He's just laying it out there for him. So how does Moses respond to that? I'd be pretty convinced and stoked. Moses answered, verse 1 of chapter 4. Okay, God just told you the future. But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. I almost feel at this point, Moses is just finding any excuse not to go. God, he's like a third grade kid. Yeah, but what if a unicorn flies in the field and I can't kick the soccer ball? What if I do then? Like, no, I'm giving you all these. Come on, listen to me, go. This is what God says. God's so patient with us. He's so graceful, gracious. All right, verse 2, God replies with this. What is that in your hand? He said, a rod. By the way, don't confuse this rod with the Yankees, Alex Rodriguez. It's a rod, not a rod. I read that wrong when I first read it, so I just got to clarify. I'm like, oh, wow, he's kind of old. He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe, God continues saying, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, like snow. And just picture that. Talking about this burning bush, and you put your hand, and then you got just welts, just leper all over your hand, just white as snow. And he says, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. This is awesome. This is exciting. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Just miracle after miracle. So at this point, my mind's blown. If I'm Moses, I'm already talking to a burning bush, let alone getting a leper healed right in front of my face. This is amazing. So how does Moses respond to that? Gosh, I love this guy. And Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Basically, God, I'm not worthy to do this. I don't have the skill that you're calling me to have to do what you want me to do. It's amazing. That's amazing. This is a wake-up call. This is where I started realizing this isn't just Moses he's speaking to. After two miracles, he's still saying, not me. So the Lord responds this way. Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. God's our creator. How do we question him? This was convicting to me, I'm not going to lie. But what I love about it, that he's faithful to respond to Moses, And he just continues to say, go. That go reminds me a lot of the Great Commission. Go. Stop arguing with me. I've got it. I've got you. I will certainly be with you. Moses responds this way. Oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. I love that. I don't love it, but I was just like, Moses, come on, man. Okay, so wait a second. God has called you, Moses, to do this radical thing. He's reassured, I'm going to be with you. He's given you signs to show you that he'll be with you. He's told you the future. He showed you miracles, proven his mighty strength, that it's not about you. I'm just using you. Get out of my way and let me do my work through you. And yet you're sitting there going, find somebody else, please. I got a life. Just find whomever else you may send. Oh my gosh. Moses, this is not about you. Wake up. Verse 14. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God, and you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. Finally, Moses took that as an okay. Took that long. But what I love about that response is, despite Moses' stubbornness, despite God's kindled anger, God's still faithful and patient with his servant. I'm going to help you. He still answers Moses' prayer. Okay, your brother's coming out with you. He's good with his words. So just use him as your spokesman. But stop using these excuses to not do what I'm trying to tell you to do. I find peace in that. Like God just, and it's kind of like raising my 3-year-old and 1-year-old, you know, it's like you keep messing up, but as long as they're listening a little bit, they're going to stay stubborn, but okay, I'll be patient sometimes. So this conversation blew my mind. Because I was sitting there and I'm, you know, here I am even right now just making fun of Moses and getting impatient with him, listening to this conversation. And I couldn't help but to just realize, I'm Moses. We're Moses. We are called. The moment you accept Jesus into your heart, you're no longer an audience member. But we're called to something radical and different. And so what I realized what I was doing was pushing God back a lot more than Moses did. I laugh because I look at this and go, man, I can't even count on my hands and feet how many times I said, hold on, God. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I call this analogy ducks in a row. I'm a visual learner, so sometimes I got to do this to organize my thoughts. So just bear with me. So what I realized what I was doing was I had to get my life in order. Before I would say, yes, God, I'll do what you want me to do. Now, the whole time I'm trying to do this, I'm still a Christian. I'm still saying, yeah, Lord, I love you. You know, thank you for all you've done. You want me to do what? Hold on. I got to line this up, God. So I just sit here and I just juggle this. Okay, got to get my, you know, got to get my job in order, make sure, you know, my retirement plan is all set, and make sure I'm physically fit, and make sure I've got the proper time allotted to be able to serve, because, hey, I got to take care of myself before I can actually serve, otherwise I'm useless, right? And, you know, at times I even find myself making God into one of my ducks. Hey, God, you know what? I'm going to put you in front, though, okay? You're going to be one of my ducks, but you're going to go in front because you're going to help me line all this up. You're going to make sure my life is in balance because, you know, my spiritual life's got to be all lined up with my physical and financial and emotional. And I got to make sure all this is lined up before I obey these commandments that you're telling me to do. Because I just got to be right with my life. This is what it's all about, God. This really burned me. Because what God really woke me up to see through his word, through this conversation, was just like Moses, you know, give me those ducks. Just give them to me. Stop trying to do this yourself. I will certainly be with you. Just come as you are. And what's interesting, I said, okay. I gave up my ducks. Right away, I thought, okay, I know what's going to happen, God. You're going to line this up in a mysterious way, and you're going to make, oh, you're going to make my life crazy and, you know, really cool. But he did this to me. Kind of hurt a little bit, but he did this to me. I was like, whoa. And what he said to me was, I am the Lord your God. You shall not worship any other God besides me. And what I had no idea what I was doing was I was literally worshiping my day-to-day tasks. My behaviors were constantly dictated by my authority on this in this world. My work, my finances, my worries and anxieties, everything that was right here, that's what controlled me. That was my worship. I had idols. I had no idea. And it woke me up. Holy cow. I want to show you this verse. This is what really pushed me over. James chapter 4. This is your alarm clock. James chapter 4, verse 13. James says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. We all do that. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. There is no promise for tomorrow. It's right now. And what God was telling me and still is telling me, you're in full-time ministry. Just because you don't have, you know, a seminary degree, just because you don't have the formalized title, doesn't mean you're not called to serve me in whatever you do. I have you at the bank to be a light for the people around you. I have you in this city for a reason. I've got you surrounded by these people for a reason. Wake up. This isn't about when you will do it. It's right now. This whole thing is just whatever you do, do it with your whole heart as to the Lord. It blows my mind. You know, I get really excited. It's one of the reasons I get really excited to come here and worship and come even on Thursdays and worship is because I get to see the body at work. Like, this isn't about a Sunday service, you come and observe, and then you go out and you just hope your life ends up okay. Like, this is just, this is encouragement and time of worship, something we should be doing 24/7. We just happen to do it as a body. And it's even more exciting. God loves this right here. But the same worship that's happening right here is happening behind the soundboard, in the snack shack, in the nursery. Afterwards, when people are cleaning up, it's worship. Constantly, when you're going to school, when you're going to work, it's always, it's just mind-blowing. And I love it. It just humbled me. Holy cow, I'm not being called into full-time ministry. I'm in full-time ministry. Let's go. Let's do this. This is really cool. So here's the deal. We're going to go into some worship because, again, I love worshiping with you guys. The body here is amazing. I wanted to encourage the congregation here. Last time I spoke at Revival Sunday, the young adults the following Thursday literally were like, there were quite a few of them who said, man, that body can worship. Those guys are on fire for Jesus. You can feel their love through their fellowship, their worshiping, and just it's awesome. So I just want to encourage you guys, praise God for the fruit he's producing here. I just want to say, hey, keep it up. In fact, let's go invite more people in here. let's spread this fruit. This is awesome. The body here is great. And I just want to encourage you guys during this time of worship to ask God, how much more, what else can I do for you, Lord? I mean, you gave your son to die for us. He gave his life. You want our life. Take my life. What does that mean to you, Lord? Tell me where to go. And I understand some of you here might be saying, well, you know, I'm waiting on the Lord right now. I'm waiting on the Lord. Or some of you might be saying, you know, Scott, I don't want to act too hasty into a calling because the Bible says not to. I understand those things. Those are good things. But where my message is falling in here is that while you're waiting, while you're planning and trying to be smart, you're still called to pray without ceasing, to love your enemies. Ouch. Yes, love your enemies. Love your neighbor as yourself. All these things. It's an active life, not passive. It's active. So during this time of worship, and thanks, Nick, for being used. I'm stoked to worship with you, too. I just want to invite you guys again to just offer that up. And remember that Thanksgiving is not just once a year. We're not waiting anymore for Christmas and for Thanksgiving to give gifts and give thanks. We're not waiting for Sundays to worship anymore. We're not promised tomorrow. Today could be our last day to worship. So let's worship Him. Let's close in prayer. Father God, You are so big, Lord. You call us to things that we can't even imagine. And Lord, I just want to invite You into every single heart here, Lord. God, we're tired of waiting for things to happen. Lord, we want to run after You, God, and we want to run after Your will. I just pray, Father, that You'll speak individually to the hearts here as we open up our heart and just invite You to speak to us, God, and what that means. Where are You calling us? What do You want us to say? What do You want us to do, Lord? Father, I pray for the hearts right now that are seeking You, the hearts right now that are questioning who You are and don't quite have a grasp over what this God thing is all about. Lord, I pray that You'll enter their hearts, Lord. Father, as they just humbly pray to You straight up, God, show Yourself to me. Father, I just pray that You will be the one to reveal Yourself. It has to be You. It can't be man's understanding. It can't be man's knowledge. We're limited. You're infinite, God. So please, Lord, speak to each individual heart. Just bless us with this time of worship, God. Please just show Yourself. Thank You so much for this time of worship, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.